Perspective, one of the most interesting hours on web radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you're tuned into Positive Perspectives. My in-studio guest tonight is someone that I've been knowing for a while, a good friend of mine. His name is Norris Evans, and we have Isaac Corbin and Angie Evans. And the little one's name?
Nina
Evans.
That's right.
Hey, so we're just going to have like some open discussion on just a bunch of stuff. We're family, so we're just visiting tonight. It's going to be informal. I don't know where that came from. So anyway, and we also have Shantae Marie Duncan on the line. And are you there, Shantae?
Yes.
Shantae?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, and we're going to have some discussion that, well, I'm sure she's going to pipe in, or nah. But anyway, so Norris, that theme music that is the new theme music for anybody that listens to Positive Perspective knows that that's new theme music that we're using, and you are the creator of that.
Yes.
Yes, is that all you have to say?
No, you know, when I was here before, I like the other theme song, too, you know. But, you know, let's put it like this. I thought you needed something custom designed. You know?
Oh, wait a second now. Yeah. Well, okay, I'll go with that. So that's like programming music. Can you?
Well, first of all, while I was thinking about your show, I was asked to do a demo to represent some software synthesizers for a company called Art Vista, has Amsterdam company, and his wife Amanda. They have this wonderful software company that has a virtual grand piano and a virtual bass, and so they asked me to do that. So while I was doing that, I was thinking about your show while doing their demo.
Right.
You know. So anyhow, so I presented that to them. They loved it, and they picked that one to be the one that will represent their software. You know, and I said, hey, it'd be nice, too, okay, if we go ahead and let
Me jump on that to see if it would work with us. And, yeah, I think it has a good feel to it. It certainly captures my personality, you know. So, yeah, I thank you for that. And I heard the... you said it was a demo or the thing that you did? The drums were incredible on that.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable. Can you expound a little on the drums?
Okay, that another company that we work with is called Tune Tracks. And the name of their program is called Easy Drummer. And it takes the complexity of programming drums out of the equation.
Well, I do know that what you let me hear was awesome, man. I mean, it is unbelievable that, I mean, it sounded like a live drummer. I mean, just it's just so professional.
Well, let me say this. One of the things, even though it's software and it's programming, they actually take drummers in the studio, they record them, and then they have a way of transferring the drum fill in every aspect of the drums, and they put it in their program. And then give you the end user the control. And that's the same thing for a virtual grand piano by Art Vista and virtual bass. And by the way, their bass player is one of the Funk Brothers.
Oh, the Motown deal.
Yeah, Tony Newton. And so it gave me the ability to control Tony Newton. And in this case, it was a good thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay, can I ask you guys to pull your mics? Angie, pull your mics closer to you. Isaac, you as well. I mean, you might have something to say, right? And also you too, Norris. Could you get your mic, pull it a little closer?
Okay.
Yeah, it'll move. It won't move?
No, it moved this time.
Okay, they have some weird host DJs here, so they might have put some gum on it or something. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah. I'd like to get something off my chest right quick. Just kind of to shift gears here about the Baltimore beating. I don't really know that much about it. Denise was kind of telling me a little bit about it. What were you saying?
Well, basically, they stopped the young man. He's 25 years old for no apparent reason. And
that's what it says.
Yeah. And so it says on a couple different articles. One, they found a switchblade that was in his pocket. Another one said they seen a knife hanging off his belt. So they decided they were going to arrest him and take him on into custody. From the video that I saw, they were dragging him into like a paddy wagon or a van. It wasn't an ambulance.
Paddy wagon? You're telling on yourself, girl.
You know, but whatever, you know. And he was, you know, talking and expounding and having a few words and stuff. And when he ended up at the police station, he was unconscious and having problems breathing or to the verge of not breathing. And basically, he spent, I think it said, like 8 days in the hospital and end up dying. And what they said from his death was caused for the preliminary autopsy was that his spinal cord right in his neck had been severed 80% of the way. Mm-hmm. And so they have further investigation going on. At this point, that's all that they're releasing, and they put 6 officers on suspension.
Okay, you guys know anything about that at all, or...
Yeah, a little bit. To my surprise, someone that made me aware of it, and it just made me wonder, you know, because it's when I did go to CNN and one of the other news programs, it got even stranger. You know, that there's a gap where they don't know what happened to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the officers saying, "Well, we didn't think anything was wrong," but Like the report says, he's got a severed spinal cord. Mm-hmm. You know.
Now you can get that from sneezing too hard, can't you?
You know, I guess anything's possible.
I'm kidding, Norris. I'm just thinking. That's what we're gonna hear.
You know.
Well, he just the man started sneezing.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, and I'm just gonna go straight to the point. You know. I got friends that are police officers. One of them, I was speaking with him 2 weeks ago at church, and I understand that they're dealing with some very bad elements out there, okay? But regardless of that, this is still America. And I just think at this point, American rights are not being respected, okay? And then going straight to the point, I think we have an issue of racism that's involved in this. Mm-hmm. And we're not addressing it. I think we pushed it over and took the excuses. And so one after another, shooting, beating, tasering, and it's just happening.
To a particular race of people? Than others?
Is it more than others? It's happening all over, but more than others. Like, for example, when I first heard the report, okay, it said that the young man was stopped because he was sagging, and that's why pull him over. Okay,
that means your pants are hanging down too low, or doing that thing with your underwear showing for the 80-year-old females that are listening to the show right now. Go ahead.
And you know, we have this thing when we're driving, when we pass a police officer, and it's a joke to us. We hope that we don't get pulled over by the police officer because we're driving while black.
Oh.
DWB.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I could say that though I've had a lot of cool police officers pull me over with probably probable cause, but there's other times I know I was just pulled over because I was black. Mm. When we first moved to the high desert, okay, I was getting harassed every week on going to church on Sunday.
And it was that literally twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
He got so many tickets for no apparent reason. Mm. They would say, and our car was brand new. They were like, where your backlight is out. How is that possible when we just got this car like several weeks prior?
Yeah, and we had to go to court to...
We had to go back and forth. So many fix-it tickets, and it was like, for what?
And then one of them was the same police officer that was coming up with all kinds of stuff. Asked me a question, you know, are you a child molester?
Yes, it was.
And unfortunately, this has been going on for years because when Willis and I were first together, we were harassed. You know, that was many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I can remember one incident at 4 o'clock in the morning when I had to pick him up from work. We're pulled over at 4 in the morning down on, you know, in Riverside, down on University, which at that time was one of the main roads. And we had a car inspection at that time. You know, what at 4 o'clock in the morning are you going to do a car inspection to the point where, you know, I got so ticked off, I almost ended up going to jail because they used to talk about maybe he has a warrant out. I said, then just take him to jail. If you think that, just take him there.
Well,
because
I
just couldn't take it anymore.
I know there's a God because I just think of all the times that I've been pulled over, we've been pulled over, that nothing really went down.
Right.
I think that there should be a lesson in this that black people should not move to the high desert.
But I think also when you talk about the proportion of what's happening is that if blacks are 12% of the population, then you would think that 12% of the people being pulled over or 12% of the beatings or 12% of the shootings, then it should be somewhere within that percentage. Not that it's so far, you know, like 90% of the, you know, the people or whatever the number is. It's not nowhere near that 12% of what the population represents. So, you know, from what you were saying, Norris, it would seem to me to say that that police officers are targeting or profiling or doing whatever needs to be. And since I've seen it firsthand and know exactly what it's, you know, been through it and stuff, all the way up to just, what was it, with Lalo and us, maybe 5 years ago.
You always bring that up, but that happened,
like 5 years ago. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been going on, and it's just now
we came out of that unscathed, so I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, but,
a lot of people are not coming out of it so fortunate, and I'm working on a song. And well, actually, it's a skit song, but I have to perform it for that tech talk, which we do. It's for the host of the Skid Row Studios first Wednesday of the month. And it's got something to do with the, what does she call? Lady Justice?
Lady Justice.
Lady Justice has on a blindfold, right? So she can't see all the crap that's going on. And the Liberty Bell has a crack in it, doesn't it?
Yep.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
Now, Denise was telling me that the first time they rang or rung the Liberty Bell,
it cracked.
Is that accurate? I don't know. You didn't look it up, did you? But you told me, you're telling me that with a lot of confidence, but you tell me a lot of things with a lot of confidence. But there's got to be something in that, you know? I mean, the Lady Justice is blindfolded and the Liberty Bell's got a crack in it, and
well, I think with Lady Justice, the reason that they use
I
that
know,
was,
but is that it's supposed to be that they're not.
There's no
prejudice.
There's no prejudices. You know.
Say that. What's that, Chantal?
I'm reading that it was cracked while they were, I guess, testing it out.
So when they rang it, it cracked.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that crack represents something that God kind of was letting us all know that liberty thing that certain folks are preaching doesn't apply to everybody. You know, some of us are falling through the cracks.
I think too. The point that you're making,
you got that,
maybe
Chunky.
Liberty has a flaw. Okay, mm-hmm. and it does, because who enforces liberty? Who enforces the law? Who judges the law whether something's right or wrong? But I think what everybody is starting to look at is that, regardless of flaw, this thing needs to be fair. Okay, like for example, right, for the longest, I used to live in Watts and go to some of the town meetings, and we would say, how come the police force does not represent the people that live there? You know, and now.
Oh, you mean the makeup of
one part
the
of
nationality
the
of the. police department.
We're talking about the culture, okay? Maybe somebody from that neighborhood would understand the culture and would be able to distinguish the difference between those trying to do something wrong versus just a normal person just trying to live their life, okay? But the problem is when they do the background checks, okay, and this is what somebody told me. Well, if I grew up with, say, Tookie Williams, okay, all right?
The Crip dude?
The Crip dude, okay? That would disqualify me because of the neighborhood that I live in. He stayed in the same neighborhood. Because in our challenged neighborhoods, you're going to have guys that's doing the wrong thing. And but should that eliminate me from having a shot at being one who protects and serves?
Okay, so you're saying that there's a kind of a blanket effect to if you are in a bad neighborhood, they disqualify you from being able to serve in the police department.
Right, but the same, now if I flip it around, it doesn't apply. Okay, if your neighbor was a KKK member, you could still become a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, I didn't know that. But it seems like it makes sense because even the Ferguson thing, they were like looking at the balance of most of the cops were white. And I really didn't really get into it that much. But, I mean, the whole thing's kind of exploding, but I don't think it's going to do any good.
Well, I mean, look at the L.A. police force, though. It's a lot of people. I mean, it's not like in Ferguson where maybe they only have 12 cops or something because it's such a small town. L.A. is huge.
They got a lot more than 12 cops.
Or whatever, but I mean, I'm just saying it's not as many as what you have in L.A. because it's a small community. So you would think that, again, you know, that the proportionate would be somewhat closer. I mean, it's now so far drawn out.
Let me say this. Before the Rodney King beatings, okay, L.A. was more like Ferguson's, even with affirmative action.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Now, this is unfortunate, but because of all the riots and all the things that happened after that, okay, that's when people decided the changes need to be made, okay? And then L.A. Police Department, just as any big metropolitan police force had its problems too. I mean, you know,
they're still
why they were under an indictment and under the watchdog.
Anyway, let's shift gears again. I'm having a fun time saying that word, shift gears. That's the second time I said it in the show. So we're going to shift gears now. But yeah, I just want to kind of get that off my chest about, I guess it's bothering me at this point that the media is bringing all these things out and people are still getting shot and people are still getting beaten. And it's like, in my opinion, or the way I see it, is like almost like the police departments are trying to instigate an uprising from black people to create, you know, havoc and all this unrest.
Can I chime in right there?
Yeah.
Let's say that was the case, okay? With the new Homeland Security laws with terrorism and stuff, okay, they can invoke some things from a police department standpoint that they couldn't do before because of people's rights. And so maybe that may be the case. Well, let's let this thing
blow out. And see, but a lot more black people would die in that situation if they got mad and unruly because, I mean, we're not like the Tea Party people or a bunch of guys carrying guns and shooting targets and killing stuff, you know. Black people, I don't know what black people are doing, but I don't think a lot of them are doing that. We're killing each other and selling drugs or doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of positive things going on as well. But a lot of those Tea Party people, that's what they do. They have guns. They shoot guns. They want to kill stuff. And I think I'm just in the back of my mind is that they know that this stuff is sensitive right now, but it keeps happening. And I think they want us to blow so they can have an excuse to kill us. That would be an excuse to kill us, and that's what they would do. So what were you going to say, Niece?
Well, I think that, you know, the part that we talked about earlier that always amazes me is now they've got the drive cams and the dash cams and the body cams and everything. And yet it seems like the situation is getting worse and everything, you know, and everybody has a cell phone that's taken a video of anything, you know, that looks anywhere suspicious. You know, the cameras are flipping out and stuff. And yet it's like, who cares? You know, that's
not who cares. Yeah. It's what they want to do is they want to kill.
I'm saying in the police's mind, it's like,
they want to kill someone.
Well, it's just like the previous incident of that guy getting shot down, okay, didn't have a gun. And then it's obvious that the police went and got something, the taser or whatever, and planted the evidence to back up his story.
Well, it did drop. Something did drop, but he picked it up and then dropped it over closer to the body.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, okay. I remember some friends of mine, white and black and Hispanic, were on the defense saying maybe this and maybe that, and that what you're saying couldn't possibly happen because they're police officers. Mm-hmm. Now, what we are starting to see is that these things can happen regardless of them being police officers. Now, what good is going to do? One thing I can say from the people that's protesting and getting out there, you know, it's not a bunch of black people saying this is wrong. It's people from every walk of life saying enough is enough. You know? And so maybe there's some hope in that. And I hope so, because I got kids, nephews. And
I think, too, it's a lot that we are trusting. We are still trusting the incident in Texas where the mentally ill guy had the screwdriver. And it wasn't a big screwdriver. It was a little screwdriver. And that lady called the police to take him so he would take his medication. And the two cops were up there, and the little kid was there with the, well, he's not a little kid, but young adult, whatever he was, mentally ill person, was standing there with the screwdriver. Now, that lady just walked off because she trusted that kid in the hands of those two cops. Mm-hmm. And they wind up shooting him
five
times.
And they knew that he was not on his medication and that he was mentally challenged. So, you know, they knew what they were walking into.
And they, I mean, they didn't give him any room. He had, they talked to him like, you need to put that down. And then he could have tripped or anything. He could have leaned over to fart. And they shot him five times. And they killed that lady's baby because she trusted them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's a big mistake that we're making.
Well, I got some friends from the hood, and they're not with us because they got shot and killed by the police. And their parents called and said, well, they're high, all right? And we don't, and they called them because they didn't want it to escalate any further. Okay, will you come and get my son? And the police just shot him and said, well, we feared for our life. We thought he was on angel dust or something.
And that's the whole thing. My point is, these guys are trained to kill, and they're forgetting about everything else they're trained to do. They want to kill somebody, and that's what they're doing. They're killing, they're beating that guy, the white guy that they beat in the desert out there. Was it Barso? Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, three cops on him, and then a fourth one runs in, and he's looking for a place so he can get a kick in. You know what I mean? What is that?
But let's go back to all the justification with the Rodney King beatings, okay? What, it was 10, 12 cops? Or,
yeah, they just want to get a lick in.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay, enough with the justification. It was unjustified then. It's unjustified now. Now what we need to do is have some sort of reforms, okay? I can't believe that a 6-foot-something guy with a gun, a taser, and training can fear for his life like that. Now, I do understand there are certain situations, because I want to be balanced about this, but this right here is the person's unarmed. In most of these cases, they're unarmed.
Okay, I'm going to say this one last thing, and we're going to move on to some music stuff. Shantae's on the line, and I asked her to chime in with this other stuff. When a man mixes up his gun for his taser, now, I'm like, that one's baffling me, because a gun has a spot, right? So do you put your taser on top of your gun, or do you put your gun on top of your taser, and can they be in the same spot? And are you a professional? I mean, do you practice with your gun and your taser? To me, it's like going and taking a pee, and instead of
shaking it to do that, you wipe your butt instead. It's like, how do you get the two mixed up?
Well,
how do you get them mixed up?
I don't think.
Oh, I grabbed my taser. You know?
No, no.
Well, I thought it was. How are they still getting it mixed up?
Yeah, it's like
with Oscar Grant a couple years ago with Fruitvale Station movie we saw.
Oh yeah, uh huh. Right, and he said that was a, he thought he was grabbing for his taser. So, you're a cop, and your weapon is your life, basically, and your taser is something different. Now, how do you get those two things mixed up? It's like I said, you're not wiping your butt. You know, you're doing something else.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, what we're seeing is the defense being played before us. Okay? They're trying to find something, and that's the scapegoat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, if I had a gun, and I, for whatever reason, was pulling out my gun, pulling out my taser and then shot somebody with my gun by accident, mm-hmm. I'm going to jail. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Involuntary manslaughter, murder, whatever. I'm going to jail. And nobody's going to believe, okay, that, oh, you may, how, matter of fact, everybody's going to say, if you did make a mistake, how could you make a mistake like that? And you must pay for this.
Right. It's still, and that's the bottom line. They're not paying. They're getting off. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're doing it. That's the bottom line.
There's no consequence.
There's no consequences. They're, it's good old boy thing. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch your back. And don't worry about this. That guy that shot that one guy, the guns dealer or whatever, he's on vacation in the Bahamas right now. Mm-hmm. He's going to go on trial when he gets back. But he's a very rich person. And they called it an error, a technical error in the field is what they called that incident. So we're going to move on now to music. Gosh, I'm all worked up. I'm like starting to sweat over here. My medication? You got? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and go on. Niece is going to go to what's happening because I'm going to try to recuperate.
Calm down.
All right, it's time to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on. The best impression start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly veteran theater workshop led by Melvin Ismail Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6. It's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. The workshop, though, has been postponed, but if you'd like more information on when it will resume, you can contact Melvin Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Positive Light is back with the kayak.
The kayak!
If you know anything about Positive Light's history, we take the children kayaking. The inner city kids, the out of city kids, any kids. The fundraiser will be on August 22nd, and the kayak trip is September 19th. So let's all get ready for that. We'd like to thank our engineer, Cheyenne, for helping us out.
Beautiful job, Cheyenne.
You're doing a great job. If you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046 and learn more about our organization, Positive Light Ministries, and make a donation, please visit our website, positivelight.org, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. Also, we have the Tech Talk repeat, the first Wednesday of every month at the Vortex, and that's at 2341 East Olympic in L.A., and it's at 5:30. It's workshops, speakers, and networking for Skid Row Studios show hosts, engineers, and interns. It's a free event, and refreshments are served. If you'd like more information, again, you can contact Melvin Johnson.
Okay, Shante, I cannot find your information on my texting, and I know you think it's a dirty trick to have you give it on the radio, so could you please inform our viewers and listeners of your radio show on Tuesday mornings?
Sure. It's called Mosaic of Sound, and it's a groovy mix, neo soul, indie, R&B, and alternative. I'm DJ Shani, and I'm with KUCI. It's the only independent college radio station in Orange County. It's Tuesday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. So you can tune in at 88.9 FM, or you can stream online at KUCI.org. And for more information, you can go to facebook.com/mosaicofsound.
Okay, now see, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have not done it as eloquently as you did. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Okay, now we're going to kick it back. We have, just a reminder, we're at the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. We have Norris Evans, Isaac Corbin, and Corbett, and Angie Evans, and
Nina Evans
in studio tonight, and I'm having a good time. I don't know about and Denise is the co-host, and she's rocking and rolling over here. So you're just right there. So anyway, we are going to go into kind of a topic that kind of baffles me a little bit. And it's if Shantae, could you open this up? It's about Iggy Azalea and the whole mad thing. You told me Justin. Not Timberlake.
A lot of the current. What?
Go ahead.
Okay. A lot of the current artists that are in R&B, soul, and even rap that are white are getting a lot of criticism for taking on kind of black styles of music and not really contributing to the community. I.e., Iggy Azalea, she, you know, puts on a black accent and she does things that are attributed to black culture, but when there's issues like you guys were discussing earlier with blacks and police brutality and just that kind of injustice and racism, she doesn't speak out against it. So a lot of people throw in the quote that people like to be black, but they don't like to be black, where it's you take it on because there's certain aspects of it that you like, but you don't represent it fully and you don't appreciate it fully, and there's criticism in that area.
Okay, now, I'm going to say this. Do all black artists chime in when there's something going on in the community or the world?
No, there's specific artists that speak out about it. I don't know if you know who Azalea Banks is, but she speaks out about it a lot, and she criticizes Iggy Azalea a lot. She's a rapper and songwriter, and she supports, like, Nicki Minaj and all that stuff, but she speaks out on it a lot, and there's different artists that support her. And how she feels about artists that don't want to represent that side of the black community.
And what do you feel about these things?
I mean, I think she has a point in a sense, but I don't understand what necessarily she wants her to do or what she wants her to say. I think all artists should appreciate where the music comes from and the roots and where it's and what it's about. I mean, if you're interested in being a part of that, but at the same time, I don't know if she did criticize what's going on and the injustice and stuff like that, if she would get support from the black community or not.
Okay.
Or people would say she's just doing that to try to appeal to black people or get more black fans. I don't know if she would ever be seen or accepted.
It almost sounds like, you know, since there's, you know, like Willis was saying, you know, you don't hear every black artist coming out saying what their opinions are about what's going on. And I'm sure there's, you know, some white artists that have voiced their opinion because different people take different political viewpoints on what's going on in society. But it almost sounds like since they're singling out a handful of maybe white artists that just feel like that's their music of choice. That's what they feel. To me, with a musician, whatever choice of music that you desire to perform is what's coming from the heart, you know. So if you feel like, you know, R&B is your thing and you can, you know, do it, then that's what you do. It shouldn't depend upon what race you are if that's what you can perform.
If that's what you feel. What do you think, Norris?
And this is a rough one, being that, you know, I'm 58 and I've seen a few generations of music. You know, born in the 50s and seeing the British Revolution with the Beatles, and then learning after I became a musician some of the injustice that happened to minority musicians. So now that stating that. We know that something similar to this happened before, but it happened because of racism, okay? So Muddy Waters and many of the Cadillac record artists, they would put out songs, okay? And because they were black, these songs were selling, but they hindered them from going over into the mainstream. So what they would do is take the songs and give them to white artists, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, in a way, this being done again. I mean, I know we want to put it all on creativity, but that's not what's going on, all right? You have to understand, okay, a black rapper could say something and it's wrong. It's bad. It's immoral. Then a white rapper comes along, and it's the thing, all right? Good example Eminem is one of them, and then another artist, he had the song Same Love or something like that. Macklemore. Yeah,
uh-huh,
right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Macklemore, okay, was dealing with very sensitive issues, but it was cool, all right? Now, even though the group I'm going to bring out, such as Ice-T, all right, who plays a cop on TV, put out a song, Cop Killers, mm-hmm, all right? And actually, the earliest subject, the reason why he put out the song, okay, because he said, since they shooting us, we need to shoot back, mm-hmm, all right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right? And it's wrong, mm-hmm, all right? But a person, so when it's black, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When it's white, it's right, okay?
Wow.
When it comes to sexuality, it becomes immoral if it's black, but if it's white, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'm just getting straight to the point. I've looked at this in the industry for years, okay? Like, for example, right, me and a few of my friends, we was trying to do rock and roll. They wouldn't let us do rock and roll. We had to do black music, all right? But if a white person wanted to do, like, mm-hmm, Tina Marie,
uh-huh,
nobody had a problem with it.
But there's a lot there, not a lot necessarily, but there is black artists that's crossed over, you know, into the country field and stuff. You know, I mm-hmm remember my, you know, growing up, my parents listened to Charlie Pride, listened to Ray Charles that sung country, you know, which is technically a white thing. You know, there's been, you know, different black artists that has played rock and roll, mm-hmm, you know, and stuff. So, I mean, I think for what Shantae is, you know, was saying out there, that they're generalizing on, you know, because there's not a whole lot of white artists that necessarily sing, you know, R&B or sing, you know, what people want to call even white rappers.
Blue-eyed soul,
you know?
Like the Righteous Brothers. Yeah. But I guess what you're saying, Norris, is, and I don't know the industry like you do. I know you've been in it for a long time, and but I mean, from that standpoint, the industry, they're about making money, and that's what they're about. They're about making money. And when Iggy Azalea, Shantae tells me she writes her own stuff, right?
Well, that's
she gets criticized for not writing her own
stuff. No, she does not write
her own. Oh, she doesn't?
As a matter of fact, it's black rappers that's actually writing her stuff.
So, but there's a lot of artists that don't write their own music.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. That's getting into something else. But, okay, here's the thing that I'm saying. The undercurrent line, even when it comes to business, is racial, all right? And it's just issues that haven't been addressed. I'll give you a good example, okay? Kanye West seems to, in most people's opinion, embarrass himself at an awards show. Okay, now, because of the way he presents and saying, well, I felt this person should have won and blah, blah, blah. Okay, now what's not being said, okay, is, all right, here's this person that's black that's been doing this all along, but you give this award to the white person. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with them, but there's issues of race that's just not being dealt with.
Right, but no, but the politics of that have been happening since the beginning of time.
But
with
I think
the Academy Awards and everything.
Yeah, but with Kanye West, it isn't so much his disagreeing with it, It's how he goes and disrespects the person that did get it.
He's doing that all for publicity.
No, no, no. I agree with that. I do not. Matter of fact, I'm glad you. I don't want to say that I approve of the way he did it. No, I don't approve of that. You know, I believe the people that won the award was just as deserving to win the award as anybody else, okay? And then what a lot of people don't know, matter of fact, let me bring this out. Okay, if you don't like the way people are voting, okay, then blacks, minorities, Spanish, whoever you are, join the Academy. Most of the people that's complaining about this are not voting members of the Academy. But that's because of ignorance. Most of them don't know that they can join and what they should do, and that's knowing a little bit more about the industry. Like, for example, right, some of the things that we talk about, even though some of the undercurrent is racial, but it's the business part. Like, for example, people for years will say, oh, we don't like what these rappers are doing, okay? It's nasty, it's foul, okay? But wait a minute, okay? Who's signing them to the record deals, okay? It's not black people.
Okay. It's white people. Well, but if they weren't making money, that it would die out. Obviously, there's money being made by
that's
somebody.
Willis was talking about. Because, matter of fact, the reason why the white artists came over to R&B because they seen the potential of making money.
And but guys like Eminem that grew up in what was it, Detroit?
Yeah.
But guys like that, you can't take nothing away from that guy. He came, you know, up in the struggle, and there's a lot of people that know and feel what they're singing about.
I just want to chime in on this, too, because a lot of people don't see that, okay, now, if you know the black culture, okay, you can't be whack coming into these industries.
Right, right.
So Eminem had to pay some dues. No, matter of fact, it's almost like a form of reverse racism when he's coming up and saying, I'm a rapper. You can't
be a
rapper.
Right, right, right.
Okay, and so he had to prove himself.
Right.
Okay, so there's a lot that goes along with this that we're just starting to scratch the surface of.
You know what, and to me, that's a shame. It's like, it seems like, you know, everybody's saying how humanity is progressing and blah, 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 but it's just, everything is just barely scratching the surface, and I believe Christ is getting ready to come back now, and on that note, I want to hear the songs. You brought in a couple of songs, and I want to kind of get into that because we're quickly running out of time. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. I do a lot of different forms of music, R&B, EDM, but my heart is gospel music, delivering the gospel of Christ through song. Both songs that you're going to hear, the first one is like a songs that God gave me. And what I tried to do is deal with where people are at and what they're going through and try to be relative. So I'm not even really trying to be commercial. I hope I'm being commercial enough, but it's just a message that I think that people can relate to and give them comfort and encouragement. So one song is called You Cast All My Fears Away. You know.
Okay, now, we're kind of short on time, Norris, so are these long songs, or are we going to be able to get...
You don't have to play it all the way through, but maybe if you get a verse and a chorus, that'd be cool.
And how about verse and a chorus, is that about... I mean, you got that? You got that, Miss Engineer Lady? I
I'm glad you're here to hear my praise, to cast all my doubts away.
That's some pretty powerful stuff there, man.
Very good, Doris. I like that.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, I'm sitting across the table from that.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry.
Okay, we got another one coming up here.
What's its name, Doris?
Oh, I'm sorry. Strong Deliverer. I tried to come from scriptures about God being a strong deliverer in your times of crisis and try to put it in an up-tempo format, you know. And, yeah, the songs I like when I'm going through something or trying to do something that's good, and these songs come through my head, and so I try to write songs like that. I'm hoping this song will be encouragement once again for people, you know. Mm-hmm. God is your strong deliverer.
Right. Right now, that's the name of that one again?
Strong Deliverer.
Okay, we're kind of short on time, but give us just a little rundown. I know you did a little bit going through something, and that it was very moving, but I know what you do. So is that on something you got coming out now, or was that on
next month? That's going to be the title of the album, Strong Deliverer. It's going to be on iTunes, Amazon.com,
mm-hmm.
The two songs that you heard, as well as some others that we want to share with everybody, and just to be encouragement, you know.
Well, go ahead and give that your contact right now.
UncleKnow@gmail.com, UncleKnow@gmail.com, or you could just look for Norris Evans, and if you see the guy with a family of beautiful girls and his wife, that's me. You know, and you can. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me there. You know, I'm in front of a mixing console, $1 million mixing console. So.
Oh, okay. $1 million. That's cheap nowadays.
That's a cheap console. So, yeah, you can friend me. I come up in the top 10 on Google. So, Norris Evans. Just look me up, and then be on the lookout. You know, like I say, iTunes. I got a song on there now. If you want to get a preview of it, it's called Habit. Another one's called He Arose. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. No, I know what you can do. I'm very fortunate to be in your company, because I'd be trying to do a little stuff here and there myself, and always give me a helping hand. So what I'm gonna say is, you told me I'm gonna have a little set, kind of a little personal set, on the 27th of June at my house, and Norris is supposed to perform there.
That's right. I'm gonna be there,
and that's gonna be awesome. it's not like a real open thing. It's, you know, kind of a friend thing. And
you got to come play drums with me, too.
And so that's something I'm looking forward to. And Angie, his wife, is, I'm sure she's on those tracks. She's also a very, very good, beautiful singer. And
well, I could hear in the second song, because I've heard a lot of your music you've done, I could hear the Norris music coming through on that. It's kind of that mix of R&B with the gospel or what, you know, and the funk kind of all put together. That's the Norris touch.
Okay, now, Isaac, man, you've been kind of quiet over there. Now, I want the last part of this show, I want to hear about you. What grade are you in? Are you still in school? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm still in school, of course.
What grade?
I'm a junior, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm finna graduate early because I'm supposed to be a sophomore, but since my old school gave me extra credits, so the school I go to now, they're going to let me graduate next year. So,
good deal.
Okay, I mean, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Honestly, I can't pick. Like,
Are you going to college? What are you going to pursue in college?
I really want to go to the Air Force because Air Force, I just like the benefits. Because even when you're in and then when you get out, it's even more like shoes, get to get into movies for free, eat free.
Man,
like,
you're tripping, man. They could kill
take advantage
you.
Of that.
I'm a veteran, so I'm going to have a talk with him.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, I say join the Army if it's the last resort to protect our country, But I'm going to talk to him. You know, he's actually a very good drummer, and he writes songs, too, so.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he can come to the house, and maybe we can hear some of his stuff and see what he has up his sleeve, so. We got two minutes.
As I say, the biggest thing is keep in school. And, you know, get your education, get your degree, because nowadays out there,
you can't even get in the service without it.
You know, but even outside of that, when you get into the public sector, and I can just tell you from my experiences, you know, being a manager in the field out there, if you don't have a degree, you're gonna be using your back all your life. Yeah. You know, so you know, use your mind or use your back.
Now, do you know anything about Jesus Christ?
Yes, I do.
You do? Are you saved?
Yes, I am.
Okay, see, now that, she said, what she said was important, but what I just asked you is the most important thing, I believe, and what she said is second.
I'd have to agree with that.
Right. So, we're going to wind down here. I'm not sure. I got to say one thing. We are never more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating.